Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
Good evening. Our speaker tonight is Teresa. We have a few people here who are new, so I'll just say that Teresa has been practicing for, I think, going on 10 years. She was with Canando here in Mountain View for several years and ordained by Last as a Zen priest, and she's coming to us from Spain tonight. She's been in Spain for going on 4 years. Very active. Supporting Canando from Spain. Teresa, do you have a title for your talk tonight?
Everything is supporting us.
Everything is supporting us. Thank you, Teresa.
Yeah. Good evening. You know, when it's my turn to give talks, I don't sleep very well. I was half asleep and half awake tonight, and I remember when I was little, my father went on a trip, and when he came back, he brought me and my brother a train, electric train, and we were very excited. I think the train had little stickers on the windows of faces of people. And my brother and I tried to break it to get the people who were inside the train. So I was, as I said, half sleeping, half awake. I thought, oh, maybe if I break the computer tonight, I will find all the people from Canando. I will never get used to Zoom. But anyway, so I want to say thank you to Travis for his talk last week. That was very inspiring to me. For those who were not here, last week he was talking about a line of chant that says, "True eternity still flows." And, some of the talk was difficult to grasp, but I like the feeling that it invoked. So thank you, Travis. And this idea of flow is it always inspires my practice. Everything that flows. When Les first invited us to start the rotation of giving talks for breathing training, my first talk was about flowing water. I live in northwestern Spain right now. It's an area, the town where I live is small, and so I live in very close proximity to nature, surrounded by water. It rains a lot, and also I live very close to the ocean. When I open the window in the morning, I can hear the waves, which is really nice, the sound of the ocean in the distance. So as I said, everything that flows inspires my practice. Water running downhill, the rise and fall of the tides, rivers, fountains, myself swimming at the local pool in the mornings, the flowing mind during morning sasen, the flow of our breath, the summer breeze, the breeze of sasen. I'm glad that during ordination, Les gave me the name of Zen breeze, a breeze that blows everywhere. Maybe he knew I will be traveling far away, so I don't forget that. Zen breeze blows. no matter where you are. Just remember that the Bushmen, the oldest inhabitants of Southern Africa, believe that the way of making connection with the sacred is to enter a wind, a river, a current, a mystery that flows inside us. And as Suzuki Roshi famously said, nothing exists but momentarily in its present form and color. One thing flows into another and cannot be grasped. So I remember one day I went to a small river by the near Stamford, by the Dish, and I was with a friend of mine. He's a doctor, so he was showing me how, you know, water gets stuck sometimes. You know, maybe there's a rock, or he was explaining me how our bodies sometimes get sick because of that, things not flowing in our bodies. But, you know, I've been thinking that water finds a way to move forward through stones and obstructions. I was inspired by what I heard Norman Fisher said at one of his talks. He said that bodhisattvas don't get stuck. We might feel temporarily stuck, but we are like running water, flowing, moving forward through rocks and obstructions. So on a summer day, a couple of years ago, I had a practice discussion with Les, and I had just had one of the COVID vaccines, and I was also recovering from a medical procedure. I remember it was a warm summer day, but I was feeling cold. I wasn't feeling well. And Les suggested that I go for a walk to the nearby beach. And he told me, he said, everything will be supporting you. The ocean, the waves, the wind, the sand, everything. Usually I don't think about that, those things, you know, right? Or at least I didn't used to think about the sand supporting me. But anyway, I went to the beach, fully dressed, feeling cold. And I lay down on the sand, and I can still feel the warmth of the sand under my body supporting me. It was a very nice feeling. The sand here at our local beach is very thin and it's very dark, so it gets really warm on summer days. So this image of being supported has been very present in my life lately, and it has been part of my practice. I look at the beautiful mountains that surround the small town where I live. And when the sun starts to go down, they look very dark, just like a silhouette. They're not very tall, and they're kind of round on the top. So they have a very affirming and supportive presence. And this part of Spain where I live is well known for what we call here Rías. I think in English is estuary. So it's the water of the sea, of the ocean that comes inland. And when the tide is up, as it was yesterday, and the sun is quietly setting, and the water is moving as if someone was singing a lullaby, there is also that sense of support, of being supported by everything around. I read somewhere the line that great nature is in accordance with Dharma, quietly carrying out the truth. That's how great nature is. A friend of mine, a same friend of mine, said that she has chosen a word for this year, And that word is spaciousness. And I also, you know, sometimes we can be a little bit constricted in our mind. So for me, it's also nice to go to the open ocean and to see how it conveys this sense of space that sometimes we have the fortune of experiencing when we are sitting zazen, like this sense of our mind expanding. So coincidentally, I just received on the mail a few days ago a book about Zen teacher Myogen Steve Staki. Maybe some of you know him. Let me see if. So this Zen teacher, some of you might know him. He was one of Suzuki Roshi's first students, like Les. And he became central abbot of San Francisco Zen Center and died young and unexpectedly at the age of 67 due to pancreatic cancer. So the book is titled Remembering Myogen Steve Staki and was written by one of his students, Renshin Bans, who is now a Zen teacher in Eureka in Northern California. And I was inspired by something that is on the book. It's a short book, I read it very quickly, and I am usually a slow reader. But on a Thanksgiving message that he shared one month before his death, he died on December of 2013, he reflects on the practice of gratitude and how it was a central part of his Zen practice. And I will read this message that he shared on Thanksgiving of 2013 is brief. I will read a few paragraphs from this message. So he says, "The practice of gratitude for me begins simply with saying the word gratitude and allowing whatever arises in thought to be regarded as lovable, no matter who or what it might be. This immediately cuts off the mind of personal preference and acknowledges that everything, absolutely everything, is fully participating in the fact of my existence this moment." And then in his messages, he acknowledges that, the challenge of the practice of gratitude that often, he says, slaps him in the face and sets off a series of seemingly impossible barriers. And he writes, "These days, as you might know, I wake up and say gratitude. And the next thought is pain in the belly or cancer, or it is not fair. To accept such thoughts with gratitude may be impossible and even contribute to further unwholesome states of mind." I really appreciate that he said that. And then he continues, "So it is realistically healthier to enter this practice by creating a field of positive energy, by first naming what you know from experience is nourishing for you. For example, gratitude for my friend Larry, or gratitude for my mentor, my lover, my mother." And he lists a few more things. And then he continues, "It quickly becomes clear that one can create an infinite list of positive nourishments. And the mere fact of being alive tells one that positive, that is, life-supporting factors outweigh all others. This is a basis for fundamental confidence in reality. Know that this life is rare and wonderful because it is happening right now with the full support of the universe. And he says, wow. And yeah, that really is wow. So it was really wonderful to read the words of me against Steve Starkey, because, you know, sometimes you read something that you are experiencing or that you have been thinking about. So it's wonderful to read it, and also wonderful, even if briefly, sometimes to experience that truth in our bodies and our minds. So before we started the talk this evening, I was thinking, you know, what Suzuki Roshi said, what's the most important teaching of Buddhism? And he said that everything changes. And then as I was sitting this morning, I thought that, you know, everything changes and everything has changed a lot, but I'm grateful that I can still sit Sasen. And I'm grateful for all of you and for the beauty that I experienced at Kanondo sitting with all of you. I especially remember the sessions that we sat together. And Travis said last week that he really loves this line from the Jewel Mirror Samadhi. So what I love is the loving kindness meditation, the part that says, may all beings be happy, may they be joyous and live in safety, all living beings, whether weak or strong, in high or middle or low realms of existence, small or great, visible or invisible, near or far, born or to be born, may all beings be happy. Thank you. Now, maybe you have some comments or questions.
Thank you, Teresa. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Gratitude is very, very important. I think before I get to gratitude, I have to have acceptance. And through acceptance, I can have gratitude. When I don't have the acceptance, it's those rocks that you talked about, you know, the water, it's the rocks and it can't flow. That's what happens when I don't have acceptance. It's the rocks, I hit against the rocks. And I think I probably couldn't have gotten through the past 4 months if it weren't for gratitude. Having had my son for 57 years, I'm really grateful for that. And if I hadn't had this practice, then I would see things in that way. I would be bumping against all kinds of rocks and just not accepting the flow of life that occurs. So thank you for that. And I wonder how you, having that, it's your home, you're in Spain, but how does your practice help you except where you are now, taking care of your mother and not being able to be here with us, and it's difficult for you. But you seem to be able to flow on with it so beautifully. It's almost like you're here, the way you're so involved with so many things. I am grateful for that as well, but it must have been difficult.
Thank you, Diane. I'm very sorry for your loss. I admire your practice, and I'm And I'm happy to hear that it's supportive, that has supported you so much these last 4 months. And we all love you so much, as you know. Yes, yeah, some things are very difficult to accept. Myogen also said that in his book, you know. He said, you know, there when he was sick with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and he woke up in the morning feeling pain in the belly, he said if he was going to be grateful for that, he will be cultivating unwholesome states of mind, he says. But we can have a long list of, you know, positive nourishments. I also struggle with accepting certain things. Not many, but a few. And I'm working through that. Yeah, I think that's like a rock, an obstruction. Because you are resisting. Yeah, and being part of Canondo remotely, you know, it's been wonderful, and it also had its challenges because of this virtual, the virtual nature of my involvement. Sometimes I look at the sky and I see, you know, the planes going very high. I said, one day I will go into a plane to California. It's been very important for me. I think the fact that I stay involved, it, you know, it's just it shows how important finding Kanondo and finding Les and his teachings and having a Sangha and life in community, how important that has been for me, and knowing that that kind of life exists. Thank you for your question and for sharing your experience, Diane. Oh, hi, Janet. Nice to see you.
Hi, Teresa. Thank you for that lovely talk. We miss you so much. And I don't think I've ever seen Les clap for a Dharma talk before. But we love you, and we hope to see you sometime soon.
Thank you, Janet. Does anybody else have a comment or question about? Oh, I think Candy and May have something to share.
I just want to say I really enjoyed your talk, and the big part, the thing that really resonated with me was a bodhisattva is like a river. You keep flowing, and then when it comes to a rock, it goes around it. And I was just thinking, you know, when we think of dualities and one mindness, when we're going down the river, when the water's going down the river, or we're part of that water, you know, that's the one mindedness. We keep flowing, right? And then we bump into a rock or some obstacle. That's like, oh, there's a rock. There's a duality. That's like me and the rock, you know. And then we just find a way to go around it and keep on flowing with our lives. And I just wanted to share that. I don't have really have a question. I just, it struck me. But so thank you for that comment.
Thank you, Candy. Thank you.
Oh, and one more quick observation. Teresa leads is our Doan Monday mornings. Are for the for our little online group. That's it.
Thank you, Candy.
May has her hand up, Teresa.
Yeah.
Thank you, Teresa. Thank you for the space you created. Space. Two things. I hear a rock. I also hear before gratitude, there's acceptance. By the way, there's no question. I don't know whether I have a question, but somehow I just feel like this rock must have some reason to be there. I found out being curious about the message, whatever this rock telling us, whatever the rock, right? We refuse to accept or resist. And everybody has a rock. And then another thing is before this acceptance, there is a surrender. I feel like there's a quiet difference between acceptance and a surrender. Maybe just any share from your side or anybody, just feel like this is surrender, the energy behind surrender and the energy behind acceptance is quite different. We'll continue to practice. And then thank you for the spaciousness, space you created for all of us today. Thank you.
Thank you, May. You always have very thoughtful reflections and comments. I wonder what's the difference for you between acceptance and surrendering?
The underneath energy. Acceptance is already with the flow. The surrender is a pause, and then wait a minute. there is resistance. There is no willing to. But I also find that there is an opportunity here. I don't know, for this not surrender. When you not surrender, I feel like there's a pause, and then there's also a space. That not surrender, and then maybe there's a question just come out, like, what is this to tell me? What is this rock is telling me right now? I start to believe that everything's a gift. Sorry, I'm just started to. So here's a message of their rock. So I'm really stubborn. So it's very hard for me to surrender, so let alone accept. But I guess just in between that surrender, there's a space. Even I resistant, and then there is a space there.
I've been questioning, I don't know who's questioned who. What is this? I just hear, what is this? What is this telling me right now? So I am with my not surrendering. I am with my not surrendering. I hope there is more and more space there. So, yeah. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, everyone. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, it's interesting your question about rocks being teachers, right, in a way.
Yeah, a gift.
Gift.
Yeah, even this chaotic world might be a gift. I have seen it that way.
Yeah. That's good. To see it as a gift. Yeah, Candy.
In New England, we have a tradition that we got from the Native Americans, cooking stones, and then putting them in a pit in the sand, and then putting food on top of it to steam the food. It's very good. But I was thinking in terms of the rocks. It helps with the cooking of the brain. You warm the brain, you run into an obstacle, it heats up the brain and you kind of put it on the back burner and just let it simmer for a while, and an answer comes up. And your metaphor of the rock is growing. More things coming into my mind for it. So thank you.
Your story about the rock and the water and the rock reminded me of the story that I read about the Buddha, that he was practicing with all of his students, and the man came to him, a noble man, and bought him a gift. So he said, drop it. And so he got angry at the Buddha at first, because he said, you know, I'm bringing you this gift, and this is so valuable, and it's made out of this and that, and you're asking me to drop it. So he said, drop it. So the Buddha said it three times, and the third time he did drop it, so it broke into many pieces. And so the noble man got angry and left. And then he bought the Buddha some food, and the Buddha said, drop it. So he dropped it, and so he got angry again, and he left. And the third time he came, and he wasn't carrying anything, and the Buddha said, drop it. And he said, but I'm not carrying it, anything. I said, yes, you are, your mind, so drop it. You know, so that's what your, you know, the metaphor for the rock coming, hitting the rock, the water hitting the rock reminded me of that. It's like we're carrying something in our mind. And when we come across that, it's a reminder, just like you were talking about the mountains and the ocean and the rocks supporting us and the water supporting us. This is also another way of seeing support and saying this is a reminder to see that we're carrying something, you know, and if we drop it, we can move forward. And, you know, so it's just becoming lighter to be able to flow through something that is in our way because we weren't seeing it. You know, so it's just a reminder to be aware and to be feel this blockage or this hindrance is also a revelation to wake up and realize that, oh, I'm carrying something. It sort of brought that story to mind. I just wanted to share it with you. Yeah.
Thank you. Beautiful story. I didn't know it.
Yeah.
I read in the 50th edition of the Suzuki's Mind, Beginner's Mind, this story that I hadn't read before, that when he came, when he first came to America, he said, well, something like that, I don't remember the exact words, but something like, I came here to destroy your heads.
Thank you.
Megan, how are you?
I'm just unmuting myself. I'm fine. It's nice to see you. What time is it in Spain? Yeah, I know you said it's morning.
It's almost 6 a.m., 5:45.
It's almost 6, yes, yes. I don't know, my thoughts about your talk in some ways, like a rock is in the water and it's there and you just have to decide how you're going to think about it or deal with it, or I don't know, it's that there's options about what to do about the rock and how to see it, and maybe that's what we're looking at, is options.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Are you doing well? How are you?
Yeah, pretty well, most of the time. I also find sand rocks now and then.
Yes.
Hi, Les, how are you? We have
We're okay, thank you.
So it's 10 minutes to...
Yeah, maybe if nobody else has any question, we can finish.
This talk was brought to you by the Canando Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to canando.org. That's KANNONDO.ORG.